time once again to the Brain Candy Podcast. It's the best kind of podcast because it's your kind of podcast and it's my kind of podcast. It's time for the podcast, so let's start the podcast right now.
Wow-wee.
How you doing, Seuss?
Welcome to the show, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
This show is all about you guys because they submitted all of the jazz we're going to talk about today.
Yes. All the questions.
All you people that are mad that we put our challenge stuff on Patreon.
Uh-huh.
Here's the bone we're throwing at
you. There you go.
You know, we just like to do this every once in a while. I give you a little treat.
Walk down memory lane, if you will.
Right. We asked people on Twitter, what do you think is the most memorable, scandalous, funny, important moment in real world Road Rules challenge history? Comment below. And I must say my initial thoughts upon reading them were that there was a generational thing going on.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because most people were saying things that were from the last 10 years, but they've been making them for about 20.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of skewed towards that. And you remember how they told us how they don't even play clips from those early seasons because they're not in HD.
They can't. Yeah,
they can, but they're not.
Oh,
HD.
I heard it's the wrong format. It's one's it shot in digital format, and the other one's shot in something else.
I mean, so they could take a couple dollars, and let's pretend like those 10 years didn't happen,
right?
So,
and then they keep replaying the same events over and over, so they get drilled into our heads being the really memorable ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we can talk about the ones that people really love, but I will probably pepper in my own experience,
which has
nothing to do with the last 10 years. but that way we'll cover all the bases.
But and important so, nonetheless.
Yeah. What was like when you think about your time in real life, not watching it?
Okay. Real life.
Like, what was the most scandalous moment that you were present for?
Scandalous? I mean...
Even if it didn't make air.
Oh. I wouldn't even call it scandalous, but I think the fight with Brad was the most intense thing that I had ever witnessed. I would say the most intense thing I'd ever witnessed inside or outside a challenge house.
No doubt about it.
I had never been scared like that before in my life. Like, you know, that I felt like I was unsafe.
Yeah.
And the look in people's eyes was fear.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when Evan came and ran to us and we were like, stay in the bathroom. And the look in his eyes was like,
we have a situation.
This is serious.
Yeah.
You know, and I had never seen that look in another person before.
Yeah. Evan's not one to lose his cool.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And that made me really scared. And it was my first challenge. And I was just like, is this what it's always like?
And I'm just like, yep.
Yeah,
but
it
really was
terrified.
Crazy. Yeah.
So that one was probably the most intense thing.
And
I'd never witnessed a fight ever I saw my very first fight ever. Ever. First fight in a bar or whatever on my season of The Real World. And I was like, this is nuts. People really do this? I was like, I thought this only happened on TV. Oh, wait. I'm on TV. And then it was just the amounts of fights I saw after that. I was like, this doesn't happen. Have you ever been somewhere in your regular life and seen a fight, a bar fight or something like that? I have never.
Just in high school, not a bar fight or anything like that.
I don't think I'd ever seen a fight before.
Oh, okay. And then, you know, when my dad and my brother duked it out in the front yard.
Oh, there's that.
True story.
Who won?
I had to get in between them.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I come from a long line of trash.
Oh, God.
Anyway. but I think it's obvious why these fights happen.
Yeah.
It's not just that it's an intense environment. It's also that the behavior is encouraged, but it doesn't make it any less scary.
Yeah. What would you say is the most?
That was definitely the scariest moment. Funny. A lot of the funniest moments are not on air.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
what are some?
Like one of the funniest times was whenever I was on Road Rules Viewers Revenge, and they, for a couple hours, left us with no crew at all, period. Not even a PA.
Sounds like a great idea.
No phone. And we just have an RV, and we're just sitting in an RV in the, where you park an RV, RV park.
RV park.
Yep. That's the one. And I was mad because I felt like it wasn't safe to leave us. So I was like, let's go. Let's leave.
We'll show them.
So we did. We went on a joyride and just drove around, and it was a riot. Oh,
you are making all these memories come back just in your... Yes.
Because it was just all right, you're going to leave us and it's not safe. What are we supposed to do if there's an emergency? You can't even call 911.
Right. Oh my gosh.
Come on. So things like that make me laugh. And I think each season has its own hilarious moments.
Mm-hmm. I loved the drawings that Kenny did of all everybody's parents when we were on the ruins. That
they were
too. They were so funny. So he went around the room and pretty much for everybody that was in the house, he drew a caricature of what their parents would look like.
Yeah.
They were so funny. Mm-hmm. I mean, my mom looked like a little boy and she totally does look like that. And it was dead on. Whatever he drew, the best was his drawing of Johnny's dad, who was an Italian guy who looked like the Italian character from Chuck E. Cheese. You know, right, that guy? Yeah. I don't know what his name is. I'm sure it's something hilarious. Some Italian, with the mustache and everything. And oh God, it was just so funny.
Yeah. Those things aren't great for TV, but they're helpful for your sanity.
Yes.
But I don't know, man. It's there's too many
One time when we were in, thinking of another terrifying moment, when we were in Prague, and this barely made it on air. The whole story didn't make it. So we were in Prague at this bar where we had the upstairs area. And let me tell you, Czech people, guys are not a group you want to mess with.
Okay.
At all.
Good to know.
And they all look like the people who you'd hire to kill someone, the guys from Taken or something, the bad guys. And we were at this bar and everybody was doing shots of absinthe, which is the first mistake. And I was not. I was not drinking at this time. And so the worst is being the sober one in these situations. It's just awful. And so Brad gets into it with this guy in the bathroom. He's going to go. They gave us a separate bathroom or told us to go to this one bathroom. And the guy, I don't know if he didn't want Brad to use it or he was like, what, you can't use that. Brad was like, no, this is the one I'm supposed to use. And Brad ended up shutting the door on his hand. And it started this huge bar fight that then Johnny was involved in. And Johnny comes out. He also goes into the restroom and this is right before we're about to leave. And some people are trying to make their way to the bus. And all of a sudden I hear behind me this ruckus and this just commotion. And Johnny and Brad are in a fist fight with these Czech guys. And Johnny pushes one of them and pushes him down a flight of stairs. And then he's sitting at the bottom of the stairs, not moving. And we honestly thought that he had broken his neck or something. And the production doesn't say any, it's just get on the bus, get on the bus, get on the bus. So rushes us all on the bus as fast as we can. And tells the bus driver, go, go, go. And the Czech guys are running after us. And then somebody had called the cops. We, no joke, ran from the cops. The cops, I guess, came to the bar as we were leaving the bar and didn't follow us, thank goodness. But, and then Johnny split his eye open and he had to go to the hospital because his eye, he got punched in the face and the guy got thrown down the flight of stairs. It was
so you don't know if
madness.
The guy's dead.
We didn't know. I mean, I think he was not. Clearly.
Why do you think that clearly?
Because I think somebody, one of the PAs was behind, somebody told us that he wasn't, but it was terrible. The talk on the way home, and then on the way home, Dunbar is fooling around in the back. And it is all drunk and is knocking from side to side and slips and falls down the stairs and the door to the bus opens and he almost falls out of the freaking bus. We almost
while
lost
it's moving?
While it's moving. It was terrifying. Somebody grabbed him and pulled him back in, like, just in time. It was an insane night. Absinthe is... Nobody should ever be allowed to drink that on the challenge.
I think we all know what we need for this episode.
Tons and tons of wine.
Right?
And not the crummy $2 bottle ones like they give you on the challenge. That stuff is poison.
Right. What you need is Bright Cellars. Yes. Here's this goop on Bright Cellars. If you are like a lot of people and you're like, I don't know how to pick a wine.
I had my aunt take this test the other day.
No.
Yes.
And they ask you like, what's your favorite
snack? She was like, I want to know what kind of whites I like. And we put her through the test.
That
and
is so great.
Got a big old deal.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Tell the people.
It'll be like, what kind of chocolate do you like? Milk, dark, or white? Or what kind of juice do you like? Or do you like coffee, tea, or nothing? Mm-hmm. And then based on your answers, they can tell probably what kind of wine you'll prefer. And then they ship it right to your door. It's super convenient. They have great customer service. And they... you know, just provide you with knowledge about what you can then order if you go out, what you like, and things like that. And they offer such a great deal to our listeners, which we so appreciate. Here's how you do it. Go take the quiz, see mm-hmm. what your wine matches are, and you get 50 off your first
half
shipment
off
at brightcellars.com/braincandy. That's Bright Cellars, as in winecellar.com/braincandy. So 50% off, just so we're clear on that. I mean, half off wine?
Come on.
What do you want from me, people? But that's crazy.
It was the most insane night. Oh, it was so crazy. He ended up in the hospital. Johnny ended up in the hospital.
Why didn't they show it much, though?
I think they couldn't.
They just showed that you guys were out and that's it?
Yeah, it showed us running out of there real fast. And I think you can hear me in the background either saying like, this is insane, or like everybody, you know, I like the voice of reason louder than other people's. And that's usually when I'm right. Such a buzzkill.
It's like a refrain that yeah. When we were on Challenge Mania, Derek's podcast, I was reminded of when we were on Gauntlet 2 and this gal named Jo was there. She was on Real World San Francisco. And she, even at that time, hadn't been on anything ever other than Real World San Francisco, I think, and hadn't been on TV in 10 years or something. And she just thought it was going to be fun. And you go to this island and it's sort of like whatever.
Was she wrong?
Yeah. And she was just not cut out for challenge life. And it must have been day 2 or 3. And she had won, I think, the thing that we did on the first day that determined that she was like the head of, mm-hmm. and so she got the big bed and she, but
I remember watching this.
Yeah. And she like had high risk and high reward. Like she got the nice bed and stuff, but she was also going to have to go into the elimination round every time or something. And she, no joke, lost her marbles. Mm-hmm. And you could tell it was a panic attack. I don't know if it was biologically, physiologically a panic attack, but at least in behavior, she cracked. And we were in Trinidad and Tobago, and she called the police.
Oh, my God.
And was like, I'm being held against my will.
And they took away our phone, so we can't do that.
Yeah, that was... There might have even been a phone on the wall,
yeah,
like a house phone.
Yeah, I think
phone.
I remember seeing, like, watching this episode.
Yeah.
And seeing her do that.
It was a local... It was the house phone that, you know, you could call,
God.
Like,
she's
a local
number.
She's
like the sanest person ever on there.
So she called whatever their equivalent to 911 is. And was like, I'm being held against my will. The police came and the production was like, she's not. She can leave if she wants. So she left. But I don't think she regrets doing that because mm-mm. she realized that she was not where she wanted to be.
I think when Trishelle, when she was my partner on Rivals 2, I think it was.
Yeah.
And she quit and I just woke up and she was gone. And I think that was the smartest thing she ever did. And I can't believe I didn't do that earlier. She had cut her foot open and nobody gave her medical attention and they like wouldn't. It was just insane. And that the whole house was crazy. Everything was just bonkers.
To be honest with you, I'm surprised there's not more of that.
Right.
Because there's some people that love it or unfazed by it or just don't care. Then there's other group of people that are like, what is this?
Yeah. Well, I think people who've grown up in chaos, like if you're used to the fire, you know, mm-hmm. it doesn't burn you.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I grew up in chaos. So it's like, oh, this is it? Okay. I can handle this. I'm used to this. And I think there's a lot of that on the challenge.
Yeah. I can't relate to that. People who's
just surrounded with chaos, by chaos.
But when Champs versus Stars and Champs versus Pros came along, though, it was an important moment for me in the way that I observe the crew.
Oh, because, yeah. Tell me.
Well, they, when there's stars and pros involved who have agents, uh-huh. publicists, they make a lot more money than most of the challengers. And so they have to treat them a certain way.
Yeah.
And because the challenge talent, I mean, that's what they call them. We know we're not. Challenge
they call them kids.
Cast members, whatever, yeah. Are just a part of all of this one big show. Mm-hmm. They have to treat them properly as mm-hmm. well. And it changes everything. Yeah. Like the expectations, the food that's provided is better. Right. The accommodations are much nicer. Mm-hmm. The sort of willingness to let you get away with stuff is greater.
Could you imagine, remember when, who was it, Bow Wow, who made him play the tape
yeah.
again to see if Zach yeah. had like pushed him or elbowed right. him or something? Could you imagine any scenario where one of the challengers would have, where that would have been okay?
Right.
Where I was like, you know what? I really need them to run back the tape because I think Susie pushed me.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, suck it.
Yeah.
Go sit down on the bus, Sarah.
But sometimes what they usually do instead of saying suck it is they'll be like, oh, okay, let me go check. And then yeah. you never see them again.
Yep, that's totally it.
They just dismiss
run
you.
Run around
I circles. Pointed it out to one of the producers and was like, so you see then how the difference between what you have to do with the talent on Champs versus Stars versus how you treat the talent on the challenge and why if you're a challenger – that would be annoying.
Yeah.
And how we want more than like a bag of saltines for dinner.
I remember you going off at the ruins on, because I think I was we were so out in bitter. The sun and we didn't get any lunch. And you were just the best person to be arguing with Booth at that time. And they sent some PA or some like, you know, low level person to talk to you. And you were like, no, I'm not talking to you. I want to talk to him.
Yeah.
You know, the producer.
Yeah, when I was on the spring break challenge, that was the same situation. We weren't fed for a long period of time, and I almost passed out, and that's why they had to bring an IV in, and they were like, give her a sandwich.
Yeah.
Like, you're out in the sun all day.
Yeah.
And they're just like shooting. I don't know. I'm not into it, yeah. but that's beside the point. Okay, let's read some of these. And there's a lot of repetition. A lot of people were saying that DM's wig
yeah.
moment was uh-huh. very important. What do you think about that?
I think it really was. I think it showed a level of vulnerability on the challenge. It also showed like team camaraderie. I think it was really great to see everybody like encourage her and say that she was beautiful and you know. I think it made it okay.
And I've never had to go through that, so mm-hmm. I don't know what it's mm-hmm. like. But as a viewer, mm-hmm. I remember thinking, I don't know why she's so upset. She yeah. looks great.
I thought the same thing.
But as for, I think the mm-hmm. people going through it, it doesn't matter if you say that, they don't feel that way. It feels like they're being exposed. Is that accurate?
Yeah, and I think maybe that, especially for women, that a lot of our identity is wrapped up mm-hmm. no pun intended, in our hair.
Yeah.
And a lot of, especially the femininity.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you know, DM had beautiful hair and long before that had like this long, amazing hair
mm-hmm.
and that she would like whip around when she danced. And so for her to lose something, you know, it's like if everybody said, oh my God, your hair is so beautiful every day. And then your hair were gone. You'd think, am I even still yeah. beautiful? Because the thing that people say is beautiful all the time isn't there anymore.
Right.
That would be hard.
What am I without that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think she did a good job showing that she's a lot even without that.
Yeah. That was really, they did a good job of yeah. portraying that story. I wish they would do more of that kind of storytelling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because clearly it resonates with viewers and they remember it rather than
having
like
some heart on the show. I would say the last time that I really remember that happening was with me and Jordan when we won, when we were having a moment by the campfire on the night of our final challenge. And I was talking about how nobody ever believed in me and thought I could do anything. And he goes, and I go, you just don't know what that feels like because you could do everything. And Jordan was like, I have one hand. Mm-hmm. I of course know that feeling. Like people definitely think I can't do anything. And so we had this moment where we both cried and like, it was really touching and the producers said it was so touching and they were crying and
Did they portray it that way?
Yes. And it was really special. And I wish that things like that got more attention because that was a really beautiful moment for me and for Jordan and for the show. And
because for me, what it devolves into is like a cacophony of fights that all run together. You don't even remember which show it's from. It's just people yelling at each other. But those moments are poignant and stand out to people. Yeah. And that's what kept coming up when in this list that people added to.
Yeah.
Another example of that is Danny from Real World Austin when his mother died. Uh-huh. Do you recall whether she, was she ill? Did she have cancer or something? Because that I don't remember.
Yeah, but I feel like it was sudden.
That's the thing. I didn't think it was expected.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was all. It was pretty sudden, I think.
Yeah, that was.
And then
powerful.
He himself was in the hospital because he had gotten in a fight or something and gotten hit with a beer bottle or something like that in the face.
Yeah,
and had to find out then.
Oh wow. And then I remember on the Real World Seattle, there was a girl named Lindsay, and she had had a friend come. You know how your friends come see you in the house. Mm-hmm. And then a few weeks later, someone called her and told her that he had killed himself. And that was part of the show. And she, her reaction was gut-wrenching.
Oh, that's the worst.
And it was raw.
Yeah.
I mean, that was
raw
real.
Raw is a good word for it.
And I thought, holy smokes, you know? And when I met her, because our shows ran at the same time, you could tell that was still not, had not been processed all the way yet. But those moments that just sort of coincidentally happened during taping are really powerful.
Yeah.
On the other end of the spectrum, do you remember the Las Vegas hot tub scene?
Was that the threesome hot tub scene? Oh, yeah. I think this kind of solidified the hot tub as being almost like an eighth cast member in the Real World house.
Yeah, because it had previously just been the pool table.
And I don't think that same-sex kissing was something that was seen on television that often at the time, right?
Yeah.
What year was this?
That would have been like 2005.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that.
I think before, way before that, because I was on in 2008.
Well, let me check.
Do you think that was early? Like, how much earlier? I think Vegas was at least 5 or 6 seasons before mine.
It was 2002.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not too far off.
Let's take a break and talk about saving money.
Let's do it.
If you're a person with credit card debt and you're
speaking of Vegas
and you're paying too much on your APR, which a lot of people are without realizing it, they're just sort of not aware of what they're even paying for. This Lightstream offers a credit card consolidation loan with a fixed interest rate as low as 5.49 APR with autopay. You can save thousands of dollars in interest. Loans are from $5,000 to $100,000. There's no fees. And it's super easy. If you go to their website, you can just put in your basic information of what you have going on debt-wise, and it'll tell you very quickly what your new payment will be. And you don't have to put in a lot of personal information, which is nice. If you apply today and get an additional interest rate discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates, the only way for our listeners with good credit to get this special interest rate discount is to go to lightstream.com/braincandy. That's lightstream.com/braincandy. LIGHTSTREAM.com/braincandy. Here's the fine print. Subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount, available only when you select auto pay prior to loan funding. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com for important information about limits on Lightstream loans and same day funding.
Whoa.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. So that was that. Then, do you remember when David pulled the blanket off of Tammy in the Los Angeles season?
Tell me about, but this is one that lives in infamy, I feel like, right?
It's such a big deal. At the time it was, because back then, and I don't even think they do this as much now, like they replayed this stuff. I mean,
yeah,
marathon after marathon. I've probably seen that episode
right?
20 times. Whereas now there's some repeats and stuff, but for the most part, it's like,
yeah, because we got a whole bunch of crazy stuff happening new every season.
Yeah.
It's a little more then, watered down, I guess.
It was just different. It was just the only reality shows that were on, and they were played constantly. Yeah. And it was just this moment where
what happened?
David was a comedian, and he was what he thought was having fun. And he was trying to pull the blanket off of this girl, Tammy, who's now on that Basketball Wives, I think.
Oh, wow.
Or I think that's the show she's on, Tammy Roman.
Hmm.
And she was holding it on and saying, no, no, no. But she was laughing. So he kept doing it. And eventually he got the blanket off her, and she was in her bra and panties and felt like she had been violated.
Yeah.
And they ended up kicking him out of the house.
Whoa.
Because the women all got together and said, we don't feel safe. So either he goes or we go.
Wow.
And so he had to go.
They unionized.
They did.
Yeah.
Which I kind of feel weird that that would never happen now.
Yeah, no.
It would be the opposite where...
You know what they did? They did that on... The last time I had that happen was on Cutthroat when Vinny and Siobhan got into a fight. And Siobhan, like, whipped Vinny with a necklace, like this metal necklace. And she, like, whipped him on the back with it. And it hit him pretty hard where he had, like, a welt from it. And he did something in retaliation that was really physical and scary for – I can't even remember what it was. But it was definitely scary for the people who were watching. And so people were like, I want him out of the house. And you know who was a big ringleader in this? It was Chet. Chet was like, he should not be around women and he is hitting girls and blah, blah, blah. And so what they did is they brought each woman downstairs to say to the camera, like, we had to say, I feel safe in this house, or I don't feel safe in this house. And if we said, I don't feel safe, then we had to leave.
You have told me that, and it's still disgusting.
Yeah.
That would not happen right now.
So we
after
all say,
the Me Too moment,
right.
That would not, I don't believe they would do that.
Right. I don't either.
But how... Crazy.
And it was like, well, what happened?
Who was they the producer?
Kept it, I think it was still Booth. They kept it as, it was. They kept it as, I don't know if they really gave us an answer. We were like, well, what happens if we say we don't feel safe? Like what? And I think it was a certain majority had to say that.
But if that majority wasn't achieved, then
the person who didn't feel safe was it.
So what did you say?
I said I felt safe.
Why?
Because I didn't want to go home.
Did you feel safe?
Well, yeah.
Oh. Well, then you should... That was the reason.
Yeah, but I still think it was wrong for him to do that. There's, you know, there's a difference between... Like, I feel safe in a lot of moments. It doesn't mean that the person didn't do something that was wrong.
Yeah.
You know, they're two almost separate...
Well, remember when on the Inferno 3, when I've told this story before about how Ace came into the bedroom drunk with Johnny and... You know, we had been asleep for hours. This was, you know, 3-4 in the morning and started playing music. It was when we still had iPods and stuff. Mm-hmm. And when he climbed the thing ladder to my bed and I pushed him off. And then we had a whole house meeting about it. Ugh. And Johnny said, you know what you're getting into when you come on a challenge. You should expect... people to want to quote party. And as I always say, I don't even use party as a verb.
Yeah.
That's my policy, let alone actually do it.
Right.
But I felt strongly that if I say no and you continue to move into my bed, it wasn't in a sexual way.
Violation. Yeah, but still.
But that was my private.
It's your space. Yeah. It's the only space you have.
Mm-hmm. And so I got to stay. But I often wonder if that's because they didn't have the footage of it. Like if they had the footage of it, I don't know if they would have let me stay.
Hmm.
You know? Because I think part of it was like, how do we make this a story if we can't explain why she's
going? Right.
Yeah. But who knows?
Oh, man.
But speaking to your point that the whole house was mad at me. The whole house, except for like, you know, Kara and my friends.
But not mad at the guy who was drunk and climbing.
Exactly.
Bed.
It was
you
boys will be boys. Yeah. And you are the problem, Susie, because you're no fun.
They said the same thing on the ruins when everybody was pulling tops off. And they were like, well, you should know that when you come on here.
Boy, that season was a real trough for morality.
I think it was the combo of certain guys in the house.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah. Some of which I like, some of which
right,
I don't.
Right, yeah.
Okay. People really love talking about the banana backpack.
Oh, yeah. That's so funny. That was crazy to see. However insane it looked on TV.
Really?
It was 1,000 times more intense in real life.
Why?
Because CT, and I mean still, but especially at that time, was a humongous human being. People don't realize how tiny Johnny really is. Like if you look at our cast photos for Rivals 2, Johnny's my height.
Mm-hmm.
He's not big, people. He's like... He's got, you know, big muscles and everything, but he's a short guy. And CT is not a small man. He came out and, oh, I was like, I think the quote that I say is, I don't know whether I'm terrified or turned on. And then I said a little bit of both. Because I was like, hubba hubba, but also hide. Like, it was so crazy. He was so huge. And I just watched him pick up Johnny. Like, it was like... Like a, you know, every now and then, like, well, not every now, but you know, sometimes like there'll be a little bug and he'll accidentally get flipped over and the little bug's legs will be all up in the air and he'll be like struggling to flip back over and like you want to come around and help him, but you're like, oh, he looks so cute like that. That was Johnny.
Yeah.
It was so funny. And then watching him just get slammed, that was not a prop. That was an actual metal oil barrel.
Right.
It was not a...
Plastic. Yeah.
That was a metal barrel that got practically folded in half with Johnny's body. It was crazy. And then right after that, CT went against Tyler in the same game, and Tyler held his own for like, oh my God, like 35, 40 minutes.
Well, he is taller, though.
Tyler's a big dude, too.
Yeah.
And it just, to watch the two of them, it's just like, you know, I'm sure there was some excuse Johnny made about how he like didn't get his footing or whatever it was, but those are always
That's
my favorite.
That's what he said?
Like, I'm sure yeah. There was something. And then he also said like, oh, well, CT was more winded when it came time for Tyler's turn because he had like, no,
okay.
No. It was so funny to watch though. That was crazy.
We had someone named Marcus who doesn't have Twitter, but he had heard through the grapevine that we were requesting these things, and he submitted some. So I'm going to read some of them. Let's see. He likes Johnny Mosley as a host.
Oh, really?
You don't
oh,
hear
man.
That often.
No, and I've met Johnny Mosley in real life, and you're kind of...
He's laid back. Yeah.
He's totally laid back. He's like the guy that you want to like sit on the beach with and have a beer, but he would probably be... I think TJ does a good job as host.
Yeah.
Except when TJ's like, oh, he's everybody's fine when people are drowning and like on the last this season when Leroy almost freaking died.
I've been really disturbed. I know I'm always a negative Nancy about this stuff, but I have been so disturbed with Vendettas and how it feels like they're not even pretending to care about safety. And when I say they, I mean the producers.
What did you call it? Something porn. Like
yeah, trauma porn.
Trauma porn. Oh, yeah. That's exactly what it feels like. That was painful to watch.
Yeah. That episode, I thought, okay, we've turned a corner. They're not even pretending to care.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they'll pay lip service to, you know, with safety first.
Yeah.
Now they're just like, you know what else we're going to do? We're going to slam some nails into your hands.
And it felt like the safety was a little relaxed on the last one I was on too, on Rivals 3.
Why do you, well, obviously well, it's to get
the helicopter freaking crashed and
we people lost. Did people die. Died. Right.
People on our crew died.
Right.
We had to cut filming. We, that day, nobody went and did. I mean, they stopped shooting and we had the day off and it was so weird. And the producer pulls us into a room and talks to us about how, and she's crying. And it was so scary. And then we all got to call our family because all of our family at home hears.
Yeah, it was in the news.
They have not heard from us in 2 weeks because we weren't allowed to call anybody when we changed locations. Then everybody at home hears in the news, crew dead or like cast dead or whatever in helicopter crash in Argentina. And Landon knows I'm in Argentina because we had the same bank account and he saw me withdraw money and looked at where the money was, like where the ATM was in Argentina. Can you imagine? Like my aunt, I had to call my aunt and my husband and like, cause they were like, what the hell is going on and who's dead?
Right. That was terrible.
So bad. I could have been on that helicopter.
Don't say that.
I mean, I'm just saying it was like 2 hours before we were supposed to be in there. Yeah. In that thing.
Yeah. It's not good. I don't like what the situation with it's the safety scary. Right now. Speaking of safety, they, a lot of people brought this one up and I agree. It was one of the craziest moments in the challenge, which is when it was on, let's see. Oh, the Inferno. When, Julie mm-hmm. and Veronica yep. were hanging from the uh-huh. wire.
What the actual fuck?
And Julie appeared to be unhooking
yeah.
Veronica's safety
oh my
harness.
God. Oh my God.
And Veronica.
Where did she get the idea that she could do that?
Well, in reality, she wasn't doing that.
Mm-hmm.
She was trying to do something else. I don't know what it was. I can't recall. But Veronica certainly thought she was going to die. And I saw on the balcony, I remember seeing Tim Beggie like losing his mind. And Tim Beggie is as cool as a cucumber. Yeah. Like he never loses it. And he was like, no, stop. Like, I think he thought God. Veronica was going to fall to her death for real.
Oh my God. That's so terrifying.
And then when they brought them back in and Veronica was shaken.
Yeah.
Shooketh.
Yeah.
And very upset. And Julie did that thing that you do when you want to make some fun of someone that's crying by like putting your fists up to your uh-huh. eyes and like, oh, you're oh crying. God. And I was like, she is ruthless.
Yeah, she is.
When oh. And it's so weird because she's this conservative Mormon character, but she's as competitive as a human being can be.
Wow. That's really scary.
Yeah.
Dude.
But I don't know if like they addressed really what the risk was there and whether it was.
Because usually there are like multiple safety, like you can't just undo one. Oh God, well, I don't know, you know.
Right? Shit. I mean, I don't know what was in place. God, but
I'm getting like nervous right? just like thinking about that.
Anyway, changing the subject, I've gotten super into like, I told you at the end of December mm-hmm. of 2017, mm-hmm. I was like, I'm redoing my whole life.
Yeah.
And I decided to get hyper organized.
Yeah, just like remodeling and reorganizing your
everything,
whole life.
Everything. And so included in that is like I've become one of those people that's like all about lists mm-hmm. and calendars mm-hmm. and getting my family all together.
Everybody
and,
on the same page.
Right.
That sounds smart.
So I'm using an app called Picnic. It's PICNIIC.
Ooh.
And it's so cool because they have everything from like meal planning to they have a collaborative with Team Snap. So if your kids are on Teams and they use that.
And I know parents who have kids who are on like four different ones.
It's really confusing.
Oh my gosh, forget it.
And so you can sync all of those calendars together in this one handy app. And you can make to-do lists and assign them to a family member. I'm all into that.
Yep.
Here you go. Here's
I got
some
a
work.
Few to assign.
And you can make a shopping list super easy. And they have lists that you can do like specifically for your favorite store, like Walmart or Costco. And that way, wherever you are, you know what you need to buy there.
Yes.
I'm into it. So I love them, and you guys should try them too. Go to picnic.com, that's PICNIIC.com/get-started, to set up your account and use promo code PODPIC, PODPIC, for 30 days of Picnic Premium free.
Cool.
That is, go to picnic.com, PICNIIC.com/get-started to sign up your, to set up your account and use promo code PODPIC for 30 days of Picnic Premium free. That's so great.
Yeah.
I'm into it. Try it. Tell me what you think. You can get organized. We'll sync our calendars. You want to sync me and you, Sarah?
Yeah.
All right. Another one that I remember from way back was, and I think this was way back when it was still Road Rules versus Real World, the teams were even, and they had to bungee jump off of something akin to, I think it was in Vegas, but it looked like the Space Needle type of thing. And they were trying to set a world record.
Oh, Lord.
For the furthest distance of a bungee jump.
No.
So they had to choose who was going to go last, because whoever went last.
It's the more stretched out. Fuck that shit.
Yeah. And whoever got the Guinness World Record at that time for the furthest bungee jump, the longest distance.
No.
A building.
No. For a million reasons, no.
They loved it, though.
The one thing I'll never do is bungee jump.
You're not into that.
Now there's a whole bunch of stuff I'll never do. But you know, then I was like, I'll skydive. I feel like that's safer. But bungee jumping, there's nothing okay about turning yourself into a human rubber band. And then, like, the crack. Like, that's got to be terrible for your body.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Just go down and be flung. Oh,
but no. On the Extreme Challenge, I've told this how they did a reverse bungee where you start on the ground and they slingshot you up into the air.
Also awful.
Not only awful, but a few weeks later it was outlawed.
Okay.
Because you could hit the crane at the top.
Jesus Christ.
Like, depending on where they aim you.
Holy. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Not only that, but we had to
Sign our life away.
We had to hold a water balloon. So you're laying on the ground. They pull this thing. You shoot up into the sky. And then you come down and you have to look for the target and throw the water balloon.
I hate everything about this.
So dumb. But, you know, safety second.
Right. Everything underwater, fine. Everything where you're like being flung up.
What about?
Dude.
Okay, hold on. Let me find other ones.
But I still want to see that clip of, well, I don't want to see it, but just hearing Tony's story about jumping onto the beam and freaking busting his spleen. I mean, he had to have surgery in Uruguay.
Why? You just told me that last week, and how did I not know this?
Well, I barely knew except when Tony told me this, because I don't know. I guess I didn't watch that season or whatever, but the idea that you'd come back on a show after you lost your spleen on the previous season is...
Well, yeah, so I'm starting to realize that whether someone comes back has pretty much everything to do with what the alternative is.
Yeah, totally.
And so if the alternative is bagging groceries or bartending, for some people, that's a better choice to go back. And if otherwise, you would be getting a great job like Landon Lewick, who we interviewed for our patreon.com/braincandy. That's where we put all of our challenge interviews and live Q&A's. He said, you know, even for Champs versus Stars, which is only 3 weeks, he was like, here's how much I would make it at my job.
Right.
You can pay me more than that or I won't do it. Why would I stop my job for less than, but then to be in the public eye again?
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing well, it just doesn't make any sense to go back. A lot of people wanted to talk about this lap heard around the world from Seattle as well. That was crazy, where Steven slapped Irene whenever she was leaving. She was quitting the show because she didn't
And threw her teddy bear in the water.
Yeah. He had hid it, and she asked him where it was, and she knew he had it. But he said, oh, I don't have it. So she was like, you're a homosexual. And so he was like, oh, you think I'm a homosexual? Well, I'm going to go get your bear and I'm going to throw him in the water and I'm going to come out to the production vehicle, I should say, production van, and smack you across the face.
Oh, man.
And Irene talks about it in interviews and says how she remembers when she was slapped, her face was then pointed right at this large group of crew members who did nothing about a man hitting her on camera, and how poignant and how terrifying and whatever that was for her. But that was a stunning moment and crazy. And then it turned out he was gay. So obviously that was a big trigger, mm-hmm. but he was closeted.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I mean? There was a lot to unpack there. Yeah. You're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. I feel like those things are shocking then at the time, but would we even be that shocked now if that, do you think? And has there's been stuff
that was a pretty bad one. You don't see a lot of guys hitting girls.
But then you did see, well, I guess they kicked him off when Tony got real up in Camilla's face.
Yeah, but he didn't actually hit her.
No, you're right.
I mean, that is pretty, that's a line.
Yeah, that is.
And whoa.
Once my brother slapped me in the face, I still don't let him live it down.
Why would he do that?
I mean, he was like 11 and I was 13 and I was like mad at him because he was picking on my little brother. And I was like, you should pick on somebody your own size. And then he called me the B word and slapped me in the face. And I was like, oh, you, how dare you?
A lot of people obviously are talking about when Johnny took your money.
Yep. You know, I've been thinking about that recently, especially because like people have been tweeting about it and he went on BuzzFeed and talked about it. I don't expect Johnny to do anything but that.
Yeah.
It's totally expected.
Yeah.
The part that I, you know, to put it just, you know, kind of like close the books on this, is like the part that I was the most hurt by was the fake friendship, because like it was real to me and it wasn't real for him.
I think it was.
But if it were, then I feel like after that I didn't yell at him. I didn't say you're a fucking asshole for doing that. I mean, we went out to dinner with everybody that night after everything happened, like with just, you know, the cast, and it was fine and everything. And then it was like, in order for him to be okay with that decision, he had to also kind of villainize me in a way. And I felt like, why couldn't you just be cool? And like, why couldn't you just be like, look, no hard feelings. And because I kind of said that, like, I understand why you did that. And, you know, and then he's just done a lot of like justifying and like, well, you know, was our relationship really worth $135,000 or whatever? To me, it wasn't even about the money. It was like, okay, yeah, you did that, but then don't like write me off as a human being and then paint it as like, I'm a terrible person or this is balancing the scales for what I've done. That was the part where I was like, oh, this sucks. Because it felt like I had been in my past screwed over by so many, like I'd been the fool before. Like I was that junior high kid who like got invited to everybody was like, oh, meet us at the mall at, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I would like get so excited and then nobody would be there, you know? And then like to be painted as like, and then he said in some interview that like, that I just did those things to like get the move I made to get camera time, or that like I was always the lovable loser until I did that. And I was like, what? I made it to the final of like 3 challenges before I did that. Like, mm-hmm. I just wanted to win because that's what the point is. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with me wanting camera time. I was already on every single season since I wasn't like a background player. I made it to the final of like mm-hmm. everything I did with the exception of one challenge.
Right.
Until then, you know?
Yeah, so I was just like, what your point is.
That was just, you know, and I just want it to be water under the bridge. And I want him to be able to, like, look me in the eye and shake my hand. And I don't think he can do that because I feel like I've stuck my hand out and he's not.
Yeah, but I think it's complicated because I agree with you, and that the way that he handled it afterward in his mind required him mm-hmm. to justify what he did instead of him just being like, you know what, it's a game and I just felt like that was the power move, that best thing that I could do. He doubled down and was like, I don't know, using it as part of his identity. But then after it aired is when it got ugly, because then you told me about the Adderall mm-hmm. And then previously I had said, well, I would have done what he did too. I would have taken the money. I don't care. Like, mm-hmm. if I didn't really like someone, I would take the money.
Yeah.
But then when I found out about the Adderall, that changed my opinion, but it also changed the social media interactions, mm-hmm. the vitriol from both sides. Yeah. And so then I think he thought, well, this no love lost. Like, we're just going to play this role.
Yeah. I got straight shut down by MTV. Like, they're the ones who canceled all my interviews because they were scared I was going to talk about the Adderall. Mm-hmm. I never had a single interview after I won that challenge.
Right.
Not one.
Right. Because they knew you had this information mm-hmm. that was also true. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like you were spreading some false mm-mm. thing. And so the last thing they wanted to do was tarnish mm-hmm. their brand. And that's when, for me, Johnny took on a different role with the show, which is somebody who would boost the brand
of
the challenge.
Yeah.
And he became a persona. And mm-hmm. that's how we got where we are now.
Yeah.
Not we, they.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we weren't willing to play by that rule. Right. And so then we got blacklisted in that sense.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of you doing interviews and stuff.
Yeah. And that was by MTV, not Buna Murray.
Yeah. And they keep asking you to come back. So you're not blacklisted in terms of them wanting you back. Mm-hmm. But
they did not want me to talk about the truth, which was that he was fined $3,000.
No, it was five.
Five?
Yeah, $5,000.
For having Adderall.
Right.
Because I remember that moment when they caught it and then he just tried to weasel his way out of it. And like,
what did he say?
They were like, what is this? And I remember who it was, who the talent coordinator was. And she was like, we said, give us everything you have. Why didn't you give this to us? And he was like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, let me see what else there is before we wrap it up. Let's see. Is there anything that stands out for you?
I'm trying to think back. You know what one of my favorite, like, I want to talk about favorite actual challenges.
Okay.
You know, and one of my favorite ones to watch, I bet for you it wasn't that fun. Weren't you on the one where you had to find the matching giraffes?
Yeah.
I loved watching that.
Yeah.
Watching all you guys, you were in Africa, right?
Yeah.
And you had to wade across the water to find this, like, marsh, to find these two statues. And there were two ones that were matching, but they were all just a little tiny bit different. And I loved watching that. And you and Kara were just hilarious on there.
Right. Because she was throwing it so I could win and get immunity. And so the only person that had to beat us was Paula in order for that to not work.
Mm-hmm.
And Paula did win. And so Johnny lifted her up. It wasn't even that. It turned out that underneath the giraffe, there was like a code that we didn't know. We were just, these all look the same.
Yeah. You just had to find the trick. There's always a trick.
That was so funny though. Kara's a riot.
Yeah.
Like, when she's being silly, there's just nothing funnier.
I love it.
She was like pretending to fall over and stuff. Because she didn't want people to think she actually wasn't capable.
Yeah.
So she had to almost be like banana peel, like comedic about it. And it was really funny. I liked that whole season.
Yeah. My favorite one that I ever did was the Up All Night Challenge, where we had to memorize things. Like, we were standing on the boxes and they brought in just bizarre things that were happening all night long. And we didn't know what we were going to do with this information, but we knew that it was a two-parter and we had to stay up all night, and then there was going to be a puzzle. And as soon as the first thing happened, I was like, oh, I know what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved that the book I had just read before was Moonwalking with Einstein, which is all about memorization techniques. And I put all of them to work. And I have never seen a pair crush a challenge more than Johnny and I crushed that one. I mean, we finished in under 2 minutes and the next closest person finished in like 45 minutes. It was so fun to just gloat and be like,
"That's your favorite.
Oh, I did so well. And you guys have no idea what the trick is." Then I find out that the next season, all the cast members have read that book, which I love that at least they're reading. But like Nelson read it, Devin read it. And like it started, like, how does she do that? Okay, well, let's find out what she's reading. No. Devin found out. He was like, "What's that book?" I told Devin, and Devin went and told everybody. We might not see any more memorization. Right. I wonder if they're
actually
using
retain
that.
Right. And apply.
And use it, right? And that was just my favorite. So if you ever want any good memorization techniques, read that book.
Wow.
I loved that challenge.
One of the weirdest things for me was on the Extreme Challenge, there was a paintball mission.
Ow.
That was poorly planned.
Oh,
and
great.
As a result, if we had done it, when you would get up to a certain point, I think we started it, but we didn't finish it. When you got up to a certain point, you were required to shoot each other at point blank range, which even with a paintball,
ouch,
is very dangerous.
Yeah.
And so we, my team Road Rules revolted and were like, "We're not doing this. It's not safe." And so it was shut down and production had to figure out, what are we going to do? And so then weeks later, we were in New York and had to appear before like one of those judges that's on TV.
Oh my God.
The judge, he was the old bald guy. I don't know, some guy. And so, but we're furious because now production is trying to figure out a way to make it so that they can make a story without telling the truth, which is they poorly planned a thing and put our safety in jeopardy.
Yeah.
So then we revolted again.
Oh my God. This
and we
is so
were
good.
Like, we're not going to go to the courtroom and we're not doing that. And then there was one guy on our team, Letarian, who was like, "I'm going to go in and I'm going to make our case." And so he went in and stated our case about like why we should win. And the judge said, "Well, I would side with you, but your whole team isn't here." So
that's baloney.
Yeah. So, but at no point did production reveal that the reason this all happened was because of negligence on their part.
Oh, they're
so
good at that.
Our whole cause was, you know, moot.
You can usually tell those when it's like, wait,
something doesn't make sense.
Just like the teams on this last on Vendettas when
Marie
totally picked like the perfect, and you're like, and then they even said, "Oh, we set this up so it
random.
Was gender like
neutral."
Bullshit.
Yeah.
I was like, there's something fishy going on. Sure enough.
There was.
Right. Oh man. Crazy.
But, yeah. It's all crazy. And sometimes I go through my pictures because back in the day we could take pictures and I'll think, this is all weird. This whole life is weird.
It's so weird that there's going to be a day where our kids are going to be old enough to like watch that.
I can't wait to show Lincoln because I'll tell him
about
stuff.
It?
He went to a party recently where they had like wildlife that, you know, someone brought in was like, "You can touch this lizard." Mm-hmm. And he really wanted there to be a snake. And I'm like, one time I had this gigantic white or albino, whatever. And it was, you know, 20 feet long or something wrapped around me. Its head's right here. And I'm thinking, I can't wait to show him that.
Yes.
I'm still waiting for my Legacy Box DVDs, or I would show him right now. But yeah, like that'll be fun.
That's cool.
I mean, you'll get to show all the fun things that you did. And that's the good part.
Yeah.
Is that some of these things were extraordinary and I'm so thankful for.
I mean, it's pretty badass to be like, hey, we've won challenge. Like you and I have both won challenges, which not a lot of people get to do.
Mm-hmm.
We've jumped out of airplanes. We've climbed mountains. We've swam across oceans. We've run across deserts.
That is all stuff I'm very grateful for.
So many.
I met my husband.
You met your husband. I met you.
I met you.
There you go. So I love it.
But if you do want more of our challenge content, you should go to patreon.com/braincandy. We have we are on episode like 60 some of our interviews with former and current cast members.
God, and you get access to all of it.
Yeah. We have weekly live Q&As where you guys can talk to us while we're recording and tell us, you know, through the video, what you want to know.
We cold call cast members.
Yes, we cold call people. So
when there are questions, they give us the answers.
Join us for that because it's original content and it's special just for you. Patreon.com/braincandy. All right, people. Thanks for listening. Bye. This podcast is brought to you by Wave Podcast Network. Check out all of our shows, including the Brain Candy Podcast, I Don't Get It, Babes and Babies, Coffee Convos, and Let's Talk About It.